worship. And yeah. And if you're like me, you're a bit scared of getting out of boats, especially when we're on the water. It can be very difficult. And when God causes into something, it's for his purpose. But he wants to bless us through that. He wants to bless us through that. I want to sort of take up when Edgar left us last week with that meme. I searched for that meme about hedgehogs and one's splashing around and the other's quite calm on the water. And I just thought, am I calm on the water or am I the one that's splashing around, just waiting to go under? But Jackie Pullinger graduated from the Royal College of Music in London. At the age of 22, she wanted to be a missionary. Unable to find support from missionary organizations, she sought then advice from Richard Thompson, a minister in Shoreditch, England, who told her she would buy a ticket and go as far as she could. She was thinking of Africa, but then she had a dream that impressed upon her the idea of going to Hong Kong. She followed the minister's advice and went to Hong Kong by boat in 1966. On her arrival to Hong Kong, she found the work as a primary school teacher in the Kowloon Walled City, which in the 1960s was not policed and consequently had become of the world's largest opium-producing centers run by the Chinese criminal triad gangs. Jackie got to know some of the gang members and leaders despite the danger and helped them to find that Jesus can give a purpose and reason for living without and having use of drugs. Later, she established a youth center that helped the drug addicts and street sleepers inside the Ward City. Jackie, who is now 75 and has spent more than 50 years working with the poor and destitute, heroin and opium addicts, she has helped thousands to come off drugs through the power of the Holy Spirit. She has been transformed in numerous lives and has made huge impact in the city of Hong Kong. Jackie wrote on one occasion, "I've spent over half my life in a dark, foul-smelling place because I had a vision of another city ablaze with light. It was my dream. There was no more crying, no more death or pain. The sick were healed, addicts were set free, the hungry filled. There are families for orphans, homes for homeless, and a new dignity for those who lived in shame. I had no idea how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, imagined introducing the Ward City people to the one who could change it all, Jesus." She went on to say, "Churches tend to look after the nice people. I do my work with the nasty ones, like addicts, prostitutes, who feel despised and excluded." Today's topic is water walkers. And Jackie was a water walker. Let's pray. Yeah, blessed Father, I just thank you as we come into your sanctuary this morning, Lord Father, to be at one with you and to worship your holy name. I pray, Lord Father, you would lead me through the word that you've given me, Lord. And I pray, Lord Father, our hearts and our minds will be open to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. So the story just unfolds just after Jesus just fed the 5,000. And he just sends them out onto the lake ahead of him. So immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up to the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out with them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked towards Jesus on the water. So Peter became a water walker. He had a vision to get out of the boat, like Jackie Pullinger. Had a vision to go to the streets of the walled city. Peter had a vision. He saw Jesus, and he wanted to get out of the boat and to be where Jesus was, because Jesus was in the storm. He was there in the midst of it. I don't know about you, as I said before, I find it very difficult to get out of a boat when it's on calm water. You're doing this, you're tottering around, maybe trying to not to avoid falling in. But can you imagine trying to get out of a boat in the midst of a storm? And this storm was driving, repeatedly driving violently and crashing the waves against the side of the boat. But somehow in that chaos, Peter managed to get one leg over the side of the boat. The waves were probably meeting him. But he managed to get one leg, one foot over the side of the boat. And then his next foot followed. And he was there, standing on the water. Because in the midst of that storm, he heard the small, calm voice of Jesus saying, "Come, come." So don't forget, these guys, as it said in the scripture, were absolutely terrified, fearing for their lives. And to their horror, Peter, who was very good at jumping into everything, was climbing out of the boat right in front of them. And against all the laws of nature, he was walking on water. Can you imagine the disbelief they must have had? What is going on? There's a ghost, and now it's Jesus. And now Peter gets out the boat. And they're probably all of them probably huddled together in the back of the boat. How many of us are huddled together in the back of the boat because of the fear of the storm? If we take the church as a boat, it seems like a place of safety. While chaos is going on around us, in our families, in our jobs, within our friendships, within our governments. I come from the UK, and quite frankly, the government and the leadership there is a total mess. There's troubles in the floods, there's in the fires, in famine, in earthquakes. And I don't know if any of you watch the news and keep up with the news. It's coming more and more and more. Chaos is just consuming us. But we remain huddled in our boat. In our boats called the church, we are tossed around by the world around us. Somehow we still feel safe. But how many people here today may have even lost their hope? not quite sure of what the direction their life is heading because they see the chaos around them. Screaming out to God, save me. We're just holding on to the sides of the boat. And for those of us who have hope, we're clinging to the sides of the boat. But Frederico Gini says it takes just one wave to capsize a boat and one more to take it down. One wave to. We hang in that hope. Do you remember the storm became calm after Peter got back in the boat? It's like Jesus wants to see us, what reaction we're going to have when we're in the storm. Where are we going to look to? What do we want? In the midst of our lives, in our families' lives, in our friendships' lives, in the world around us. Where is that hope? I don't know if anybody knows Francis Chan. He was the founder of a large church in California. He started with 30 people. He built up a church that apparently seats now 6,000. Wow. But Francis wasn't happy. He stood down as lead pastor of the church and felt the people were just coming to hear a gifted speaker and not coming for the right reason, and the reason is Jesus. So Francis went back to basics, planting small house churches, which in itself has been very successful. But during a recent trip to Asia with his family, he found people there that hadn't even heard of Jesus. So Francis is now leaving. He's packing up everything in America, and he's heading off with his family to Asia to become a missionary in that place. Francis and his family are water walkers, not wanting to sit in the back of the boat and trying to cling on and just hope the boat doesn't capsize. But he's willing to leave everything behind and go into the storm where Jesus is. If we look at another view of our church, it's a fishing boat. We should be fishing. Yeah? But if you look at all the other Nukuru churches as fishing boats also, they range from 6-man dugouts, very small churches, to massive congregational trawlers. But what are they teaching? I'm not trying to come against other churches. But each church represents denominational views or religious practices. And they put this on as bait to draw people in. But what a lot of these boats are catching are fish from other churches, people with hooks still in their mouths, getting fed on church, not fed in church. Being pulled in every direction. That's why I love this church. The boat called Trinity Vineyard. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A church that is Jesus-led. A church that Jesus is at the center. A church where we welcome the Holy Spirit. We don't just shun the Holy Spirit because we fear. a church where the bait is Jesus, who invites all to do all. I had a picture during the week when I was praying over this message, and it was a picture of a large grass area, and it was drought season. It was thirsting for rain. It was thirsting for the rain to come. There's people in these streets, in this town, in this city, who are thirsting for Jesus. They are fed up with religious views and religious practices. They want to know the real Jesus. Do you remember Nathanael as he's sitting under the fig tree? It's like he's living out his days. Part of me at times thinks, wow, what, that's a good life. Just to lay back and enjoy the sun, the warmth of the sun laid under a fig tree. But he was so taken with this that he said to Jesus, if you saw me under the fig tree, you truly must be the Son of God. He was easily convinced, because I believe in that time and that area of land, it's probably just a mass of fig trees. You probably wouldn't even have to be a prophet to say, I see you under a fig tree. But Nathanael was convinced. He was convinced. You see, that fig tree seems a comfortable place. We can try and ignore things in our life, try and switch off. But when we get out from under that fig tree, our lives are still going on. Things around us, the storm starts to build up again. What do? Just go back under the fig tree? Or do we, like Peter, we enter the storm and we face it full on? We make excuses. We become comfortable. Do you remember the story of Philip, where he come across the eunuch and he helped the eunuch read the passage from Isaiah? But how many of us have had the chance to talk to someone, help someone, or do something for someone? Or maybe do something here, be part of the worship team, the prayer team, the setting up team, or even making the tea? How many times have we felt the tug of Jesus saying, come on, you can do this? We just let it pass us by. We avoid stepping out of the boat. We avoid meeting Jesus on the water. Fear of failure comes over us, a fear of someone telling us, you're not good enough. You're not qualified enough. You shouldn't be doing it. Fear of being out of your depth. You know, I get called pastor. I get called prophet. I get called reverend. I'm none of these. But I am a son of Jesus. And I know he's using me, and he will use you. We just have to allow him to. We step out in the storm. My wife and I, we stepped out 6 years ago and planted the home called the Beehive for a place of vulnerable young mothers and their babies. I'm not saying you've got to do the same thing, but we all start somewhere. We started somewhere. We started serving tea in the church. We started meet and greet in the church. We started going to the soup kitchen to help feed the homeless. Once you get out of the boat, the Lord will just steer you. He will maneuver you to where he wants you to be. See, ridicule can stop us doing anything. Imagine Peter's response, yes, you can say all these things. But I did it. I got out of the boat. I walked on water. I trusted Jesus. And he was there and he lifted me up. The storm may look so dark and dangerous, but that's where Jesus is, inviting us to walk on water and into the unknown. So where are the Deborahs, the Abrahams, the Joshuas, the Calebs, and all the willing to do something? They were all willing to do something to be out of their comfort zone. You say, oh, well, yeah, but that's Bible stories. That's just Bible stories. We can read those things, but what does it mean to my life? How do I transfer that into my life? How do I transfer the story of Peter into my life? But what about the young woman called Amy Carmichael, who ministered to the young women in India for 55 years? Or John Seymour, who would not stop preaching the baptism of the Holy Spirit, was used to start the Azusa Street Revival in America. Or indeed, Jackie Pullinger, who gave up her life for drug addicts in Hong Kong. Look around you. Who's around you? Who's your neighbor? Who are you sitting to? Look at each other now. Yeah. Could be any one of you today that Jesus is saying to you, just put one leg over the side. Just make that first step to walk on water, and I will show you great things. So what does it take to be a water walker? Do you remember the story of Jesus when he took the disciples straight into the heartland of Samaria, somewhere the Jews would never go, because the Samaritans and the Jews didn't get on. They didn't like each other. How many people in your life don't you like? And I'm not just speaking to you, I'm speaking to myself as well. How many people you don't want to go to, you don't want to speak to, because you don't actually like them? But Jesus is saying, I'm inviting you to come and talk to these people like he did. He showed the disciples, I love them and I want you to love them. He takes them into a place of discomfort or dislike, but it's a place where you can find comfort. It's a place where we find Jesus. And it's in the storm. So before we get to Samaria, where's our Jerusalem? I know with my girls, we've often talked about this, where they feel quite safe in. They might feel safe in our home because they feel that's Jerusalem, so they can share words of knowledge and pray for people and do all these things. Now you say, wow, we can take our church like that. This is our Jerusalem. What a great place to practice water walking. A place where we can practice the God-given gifts that we've been given. Because if somebody gave you a phone or bicycle or even a car, would you not use it? Or would you just put the phone in the drawer or lock the car in the garage and say that that's mine? But you're not going to see it. I'm not going to let you near my phone. I'm not going to let you near my car. And if you don't know what your gift is, then ask him. Seek the gift giver before the gift. Seek the gift giver. You might even surprise yourself. But remember, all gifts are for the glory of God and not for our own use. Jesus is looking for water walkers who are willing. Someone to cross the room someone to pray for someone. Give them a word of knowledge. Someone to be there for a shoulder just to cry on in time of trouble. This is our Jerusalem. This is a place where we can do that. But if we can't do that here, how can we do it out there? How can we minister to people out there, but we can't even say good morning to someone when we come into church? The rich young ruler wanted to be a water walker, but he couldn't let go of his boat, or in his case, his yacht. He couldn't let go of the possessions that were holding him back. Jesus saying today, come and enter to what I'm showing you. I believe there's people in this church today. God has tugged at your heartstrings. He's pointed you out. He's lifted you up. And he's saying, come. Step out the boat and I'll be with you. And if it gets too much, you'll still be there. When reported, the famous Dr. Livingstone only led one man to Christ, a tribal chief in Botswana. Years later, Reinhard Bonnke has led millions to Christ. Bonnke said he has only reaped what the others have gone before and sown. Livingstone planted the seed, and Bonnke reaped the harvest. Two men from totally different times, different eras, became water walkers for Christ. In John 4, it says, My food, said Jesus, is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and the harvest a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. That's the saying, one sows and another reaps, is true. Each of us could be planting seeds. And not just planting seeds out there, we can be planting seeds in here. There might be somebody sitting next to you now who's just crying out for the Lord for a word. And it could be you who's sitting next to that person, could be the one to give that word. Someone's so desperate that all they see is the storm. And Jesus is nowhere in sight. Today, you can open their eyes to Jesus. Jesus is looking for water walkers. He's looking for water walkers that will sow and that will reap. Today, Jesus is given an invitation to come. To come and be a water walker. In Matthew 25:34, it says, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since creation of the world. 35, for I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you go hungry? When did we feed you or give you drink? When did we, or in prison, where did we go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for the least of one of these are my brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say, for those on the left, depart from me, for you are cursed, eternal fire prepared for the devil and the angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick, I was in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will answer the same, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison? And he said, very truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. It said, how can we worship a poor man on Sunday, but we walk past a poor man on Monday? That's something to take away. And if there are so many boats in this city of ours fishing, why are there still people begging? Why are still people hurting? Oh, why are still people lost? I do believe, and as many others believe, we're coming into a time of revival, true revival. And God is trying to raise up water walkers who are willing to get in the storm, are willing to fight that battle down, whatever's going on in their life. It's easier to say, well, it's okay for you, for my neighbor, they've got life together. Believe me, if you knew my life, you know I haven't got my life together. But we get in the storm, and we get in the storm every day. And we stand there alongside Peter, and we look at Jesus, and we carry on doing what Jesus wants us to do. So Jesus is inviting you today to do the same. People are willing to step out the boat and step into the storm. And if we are no longer slaves to fear, what are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? For death is defeated and the King is alive. So today, I dare you to step out and get your feet wet. Just try it. And he'll be there to hold you up. He'll be there to catch you. He'll be there to love you through it, support you through it.